Okay. Good evening. Welcome to our studies again from the book of Romans. We'll be studying this evening from chapter 4. I want to thank Matt for the last two real good lessons that he provided from chapters 2 and 3. This evening from Romans 4, we will be studying about the evidence from the Jewish scriptures that man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But before we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon us. We pray as we go on through this period of time that we, as we make judgments, that they will be sound judgments. And we pray for the brotherness of all of us. We pray as we study from the book of Romans that it will be much good for our studies. We do not want to forget our ladies that are expecting at this time that you would be with them and all of our young people. As always, we most thank you for Jesus, and this is a prayer in his name. Amen. So I first would like to go to reading from the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, and read the first 8 verses to you, and then we will talk about those. What then shall we say, that Abraham, our father, was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. In Psalms 32, 1 and 2, it says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sins. So let's talk about these first 8 verses here and what it is trying to tell us today. The condition of salvation is given through Jesus Christ our Lord, constitutes the law of faith. The law of Moses with it. Ceremonies and observances constitutes the law of works. The law of faith requires the service from the heart, because with the heart, man believes. And when speaking of the heart, we're not talking about the one that pumps the blood through her body. We're talking about a man's mind and how his mind believes. Just think, the law of works, they could be performed. In other words, talking from the Old Testament, they could perform some of those works without faith. And here, as I've just started with verse 1, I want to pause between verse 1 and verse 2 and say something. I think we as Christians, we stay away from the teachings of faith simply because there are those throughout the world who teach that you are saved by faith only. But I think it's good that we study such as chapter 4 when we talk about we are actually saved by our faith. So remember that as we go on through our study, that we are saved by faith. So Abraham, he was justified. Was it of faith or of by works of the law? Abraham was justified by his faith. This was before he was circumcised. Faith led Abraham away from self, away from home, away from his family and his friends to follow God. later to offer his son of promise. Let's think about it. We know from historians of the study of the city of Ur, where our Abraham came from. It was a very modern town at the time. Understand from studies that they had even so modern, they had running water within a lot of their homes. So he left that area with just his wife and his nephew Lot and the ones that worked for him. So we know that through his faith, he obeyed God instead of staying with the luxuries that he was living with. God told him that through his seed, you could count the stars of heaven. Though what? He was very old at that time. Let's read Genesis 15, 5 and 6, which gives an account. It says, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Both he and Sarah, his wife, were both past the age. When we look at the stars and you go to try to count them, we really in this area do not get a good respect of it because most of the time our nights are not real dark. But many years ago over in Vietnam, out in the middle night, in the middle of the boonies, as we call it, underneath the stars, it would be dark all around, and you could look up, and it's just amazing the number of stars that you can see. And that's the only light you have. It's pitch dark. And to think that you could sit there and count those number of stars. And if we think back and look, Abraham, as we're going to get further along in the study, the number of descendants that actually came from Abraham. Verse 4, if one relies on his own works to the merit of salvation, so then it would not be a favor from God, but it would be a payment to reward us for our works. This to me is contrary to the whole principle of God's salvation. As though through God's gift of life. In verse 5, it says, now we are getting to why we do not work. It is a faith perfected by obedience, a faith that works through love. The things that are embraced in the law of faith are conditions to be complied with that show that we are in the state of our heart that fits, that prepares us for our salvation. God requires us to do nothing that we can claim merit for. God requires us to do nothing at all to get merit for. Baptism pardons one from his sins. And our baptism is a faith of repentance. Faith is an act of the heart. And remember I said it's not the one that pumps the blood. It comes from our mind, the soul, the inner man, something that the man does. It is a work, but man does that work, but it is God's work. It is ordained by God. It terminates and honors God. If we read John 6:29, Jesus, he answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So the faith that leads to a man thus to work in the works of God and so perfects the faith, God will reckon it to him for righteousness. We have to understand that when we work, it's because we're doing God's work, not to earn merit for it. In Psalms 32, 1 and 2, it says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So that covers our verse 6, I think, thoroughly, reading Psalms 32, 1 and 2. Verse 7, those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works are those whose sins have been forgiven. And when we speak of to cover sins, it is the same as saying we receive forgiveness for our iniquities or for our sins. In verse 8, if we are submissive to God, think about that. If we are submissive to God, then he will forgive us of our sins. This concludes the study of our first 8 verses. So let's begin now with verse 9 and read some more verses, and we will talk about them. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith has accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? Why he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while he was uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgressions. If you notice, a lot of these writings right now by Paul, he's asking questions. Some he is answering, and some he is not answering. He's letting us answer him, but many of the writings, he's asking us a question to make us think about it. So Paul is writing as though asking a question to us. So does this faith in obedience to God pertain to the Jews only? Does it pertain to them only, or for both Jews and Gentiles? It tells us that faith from Abraham was for righteousness. In verse 10, Abraham was so justified while yet he was uncircumcised. We'll look and understand that in the next part of our study about he was uncircumcised at that time. Therefore, the blessings is not upon the circumcision only, which when we're talking about the circumcision, we're talking about the Jews. But it was upon the uncircumcised also. Let's look at Genesis 5 and verse 6. It says, and he, which is meaning Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then in Genesis 17, 25 and 26, it tells us, and Ishmael, which we realize that was his first son, his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Then in verse 26, it says that very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. So it knows it was sometime later before we were talking about Abraham being justified by his faith. And in Acts 5:1, it says certain men came down from Judah and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. We see that that is a false doctrine. That is a false teaching. Abraham, he was justified at least 13 or more years before he was circumcised. It was way before the law of Moses. If Abraham can attain this perfection of faith in an uncircumcised place, so may the Gentiles. So Abraham became not only the father of the circumcision, but of the uncircumcision who believed and obeyed in Christ. So their faith has been thus perfected by what? By obedience, just as it would be today. Our faith is justified by our obedience to God's will. Abraham's faith was for righteousness. Also, our faith with obedience is also for righteousness. Abraham was never under the Mosaic law, though his descendants from him and Sarah were underneath that law much later on. So the promise was made to Abraham about this through his faith, not through the law. It was through his faith. Let's look on verse 15, and I want to get into something that's pretty well affecting nowadays from where we're talking about the old. If a parent never interferes with the will of a child, the spirit of obedience is not tested in him. When a parent forbids and does nothing to state a command of his children, the desire, the spirit of obedience is not tested. In other words, when your child reaches the age that they're going to go to dating and got their eye on the boy, got their eye on the girl, if you do not tell them they need to be in by 10 p.m., you're not tested. If they come in at 12, they haven't broken your law because you haven't set a time. But when you set a time and you say be home at 10, and then you also tell them to remember who they are, especially if they're Christians. You tell them to remember who they are and everything. You have made some commands there of them. They're tested to obey them, and they're in my house, that was consequences if they did not. So obedience must be tested. So the law that restrains, it brings wrath upon a man. God's laws, if you don't obey them, will bring a wrath to it. With my three children, when I made the law, there was a wrath to it if they didn't obey it. So if God never had given to man a law, he could not transgress the law. Thus the transgression brought wrath upon him. In Deuteronomy 12:32, it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, not take away from it. That's the same way today underneath the New Testament law. We're not to add to it, and we're not to take away of it. God now has a law given, and it's given through Jesus Christ. Let us now begin with verse 16 and read some more verses of scripture. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider it his body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us whom believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. A lot is said in those few verses of scripture for us. It tells us, beginning in verses 16 and 17, salvation comes through the law of faith, not of works. The promise came through the law of faith, which is for the Jews and the Gentiles, those who believe. Genesis 25, 1 and 2, it says, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Madadan, Ishbah, and Shihah. And also we know he had Ishmael. And history tells us that over the years, all of these different sons of Abraham, which he sent away, we even know from our study that Ishmael and Isaac was the one that buried Abraham, but he sent all those away. But when we know from history, all of these became nations. Some became small nations, some became great nations. So not only the Jews who we study of as the chosen one through Sarah and through Abraham, but all these others were Gentiles that formed a lot of other different nations. Some of those nations that were in the promised land when they conquered for the Jews to take the promised land. So we know from that and the fulfilling of it, we can't just look for Jews. There's a lot of other Gentiles that came from the seed of Abraham. Abraham's faith enabled him to become that father of many nations according to that promise that was given to him. Even though he was old, about 100 years old, he had a number of sons. In Hebrews 11 and 12, it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashores innumerable. We realize that the Jewish nation come because it was Sarah as well as Abraham who God had chosen. And we also can't forget, Sarah laughed when they spoke of her being able to have a child, but it was through her faith also. She believed that God would produce what he promised. Very difficult, I'm sure, for both of them to believe this, but they still believed in God. To glorify God is to exalt and to honor him as one worthy of the very highest praise and most faithful service. And this service he rendered unto them. I'm speaking of Abraham. In verse 21, Abraham had full confidence that God could and would, and he did, perform his promise. Abraham honored God, especially in being convinced that all he had promised. Abraham thus believed God. Despite the very difficulty part of it, Abraham's faith and trust in God had been cultivated and perfected, though over many years of acts of obedience. So the promise of Abraham is an example of Abraham illustrates for those under Christ, that to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus from the dead. When we think about that, each Sunday when we take the Lord's Supper, we talk about Jesus' death. But the main part, he raised Jesus from the dead. That's something that we really can't comprehend. But we have to have the faith that God did that for Jesus, that they raised him from the dead. And he would do the same thing for us. All those of us that are Christians who believe and think that God has the power to do that, we have to have that faith. Men throughout ages have wrestled with this particular question. And I throw this in on the end with verse 25. Who killed Jesus? Was it the Jews? Or was it the Romans? Here Paul declares the fact that all mankind killed Jesus. We are all responsible for Jesus' death. His death, though, was not the end. We of faith believe that he was raised from the dead, from this horrible death, so we can get forgiveness of our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, he says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." So we have to have faith like Abraham had, of things that are hard to understand, but we got to have faith in it that God is able to do that. Thank you very much.